Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, so there was a guy on Twitter, or TikTok rather. I think he's a pretty prominent TikToker. I think he's a self-proclaimed millionaire, which you always have to be careful with those type of people. But anyways, he posted a TikTok video where he was at a restaurant. I think it was an Olive Garden,
actually. It
must
yeah.
have one of the breadsticks in the soup in the salad, which is great.
Yep.
But anyways, he showed a video. I think he was out on Valentine's Day even, maybe. But anyways, he had a bill. I think the bill was like $49, and I think it was one of those little like machines that they bring to the table,
yeah,
so you
look,
put the card in.
We frequent the Olive Garden a lot because the kids love it. Taylor loves the breadsticks and the donut holes there's for dessert. And every single time, it's a twofold win for the parents. It's the like iPad screen that the kids can play games on while you're eating dinner. And when you're done, you can just insert your credit card and pay right there at the table.
So they did that. So the guy, the TikToker, was paying at the table, and you can, I mean, that's where you put the tip, right? And you can, it has the little sliding scale, at least this Olive Garden did, where it had the sliding scale where you're tipping, you know, your 15%, your 18%, your 20%, your 25%, or other. So the TikToker told the waiter to slide it all the way over. So he slid it as far over as it could go, and the guy ended up getting like a $90 tip. It was a 200% tip. That he posted on the social media. And a lot of people going back at the TikToker saying, like, if you're giving the big tip, that's nice for the waiter or whatever, but if you have to post that for the clout, then you're going too far. So what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, we're in a social media age where everybody publicizes everything, and we're in a look at me culture. But you know what? You kind of question, like, it's one thing to say, you know, you're doing a good deed. And so that it was a really nice gesture. But it's if someone else finds out about it, like say for the way that this ultimately plays out the best for everybody involved is if the waiter is so pleased and surprised by the fact that he made this gesture that he tells people about it. And whether it's it happens all the time on all the news stations locally when the owner of the bar or restaurant or the manager gets in touch with the media and goes, you're not going to believe this, but this person came in and tipped my waitress or my waiter $150, or it was Christmas, and gave him an extra $1,000 and said split it amongst the staff or did whatever they did. But because he's self-promoting, he leaves himself open. It's still a hell of a nice gesture. It's a great thing that he did. But because he did it the way that he did it, he leaves himself open for criticism, and boy, he got a ton of it.
I think there's a lot of clout chasing a lot. I think quote tweets on Twitter are clout chasing. Like, okay, I'm gonna give my opinion, but instead of actually like an engaging back and forth, I'm going to quote tweet it so all of my followers see it. I think that's something that I see all the time that I'm like, okay, like that's a pet peeve.
Or don't
mind.
Tag Keeping the guy you're actually ripping.
Yeah, but if you quote tweet it, they're going to see it. So like that's another example that you're talking about too, where you're kind of like subtweeting it, which is a completely different conversation, but still like the same as like the level of annoyance. One of my favorite, and I think it is my favorite quote, and it's a mantra that I try to live by too, is that greatness that fills it has to be proclaimed amidst the doubt of its existence. If you have to stand on top of the table and tell everybody how great you are, or you have to put it on social media and show everybody how generous you are, then you're trying too hard and you're probably not. Mm-hmm. Like if you have to be yelling at the top, from the top of every single mountain about how great you are, how nice you are, how generous you are, you probably aren't. The people that are that generous, the people that are that good, the people that are that kind are the ones that don't say it. They don't talk about it. They just do it, right? It's action over words. So stuff like this, and I know that it's a social media day and age. It's a pound on my chest, look at me day and age. But it's always going to be a mantra and a quote that I live by.
Well, I don't know that we've seen that side of you, but we're glad that is your mantra. But you're right. I mean, from the standpoint of like I said, if other people find out about it through other means that you had nothing to do with, then so be it. And that's just, you know, then you get a little extra credit for that. But you have to ask yourself, and people that are looking at it ask the question, what are you really doing it for? Are you doing it because you want to do that kind gesture for someone else? Or are you really doing it so that you can tell everybody else that you did it? That's the question that has to be asked. Are you doing it out of the goodness of your heart to be kind to somebody else? Are you doing it because you're looking for some run and some clicks on social media?
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at, too.
Yeah.
Like, what's the purpose of it? The purpose of it, you're getting likes and because, you know, you're getting the social media impressions and the clicks and all of that stuff. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan, but at the end of the day, the waiter got the money and the waiter's happy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they got their championship. The run is over now. Tom Brady being retired. Antonio Brown's blasting everybody on his way out. Can we just move on? Can they just move on now and kind of get out of the way for everybody else?
You wish they would, right? You wish they would. Because Brendan and I were having this conversation the other day. Here's the biggest thing that I have a problem with. It's past history now. There's nothing you're going to do that's going to change all the things that have been done, right? You won a Super Bowl. You came up short, but you lost to the Super Bowl champs. Tom Brady came to your team, did what he wanted to do and was supposed to do. Bruce Arians was able to make it all work together. Antonio Brown was a part of the Super Bowl championship. But now we can stop hearing from all of them. The only one that's pertinent going forward is Bruce Arians because he still has a job. The other two are completely in the past and part of the history books and nothing else as it relates to not only the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but to NFL football because they're both not playing. So why do we have to keep – I guess it's a slow news cycle too, but I think from the standpoint of – why do these guys have to continually have to try and make themselves relevant by still talking about what happened and what should have happened and who did what? Because it's completely irrelevant to where we are right now, which is the Buccaneers getting ready for another season that's not going to involve either guy.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, Bruce Arians ripping the report that he and Brady had tension because there was some speculation out there that there was kind of a simmering tension, which I always thought that there was kind of something there. Like Bruce Arians, especially in year one, not so much this year, like he would kind of throw Tom Brady under the bus sometimes whenever he'd make some bad plays or interceptions. And I for a moment, I thought it was just kind of the Greg Popovich, Tim Duncan thing where, you know, you're coaching your dude hard. That way the rest of the players can be, you know, coached hard as well, although doing it through the media is kind of weird. And then the Antonio Brown saga kind of threw another wrinkle in it because Arians is like, yeah, we don't want that guy. He's got one strike, and then he had a strike and another strike and another strike, and he was still around. I always felt like there was a little bit of a simmering tension there. And it's also interesting to me that, like, of those three guys, Antonio Brown, Tom Brady, Bruce Arians, that it's Bruce Arians that's the lone survivor. He's the last guy that's still around. And I think if you ask Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans, they probably would have liked it if somebody else was the lone survivor. Like, if Tom Brady was the last survivor, maybe even Antonio Brown. Like, it's kind of ironic that Bruce Arians is the one that's sticking around and not the other two.
I mean, it's like you play the game that everybody plays on Twitter, especially, again, lately, about start 'em, sit 'em, trade 'em.
Yeah.
I mean, of the three, if you had Buccaneers fans chiming in, I think Brady's the one that you want starting and still there. Antonio Brown is the one that you're sitting but is still there. And Bruce Arians is the guy that's no longer a part of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because you believe that, and I think most coaches would believe, if I walk into that situation, I can win and I can win big immediately, no matter who the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is, especially if I have the weapons, including as great as their receivers were, keeping a veteran like Antonio Brown and keeping him happy is another story. But having Tom Brady run your offense and the fact that Leftwich is still going to be there calling plays, you could do a lot worse, and you're probably going to do really well. So you're right. I wouldn't – if Buccaneers fans and their PR guy is a dear friend of mine that used to be the Rockets PR guy, but I guarantee you if you got him off the record and said, hey, which of the three do you want to see? Two gets to stick around, one gets to start, the other one's got to go. It didn't work out the way he would have wanted it to work out because Brady'd still be the quarterback starting.
You know what's interesting, too, is like a lot of people are talking about, is Brady really done? There's some speculation that, you know, maybe he wants to play at San Francisco, and that's why he's not completely closed all the doors, is that, yeah, I'm retiring, but never say never, right? And he still kind of gives the hints that he's not going to come back to play, but still keeping that door open. If you had to put a percentage on a chance that Tom Brady plays football again, what would you put it at?
I like you said, I don't think you can never say never. And I've also heard the theory that he's going to wait for the Buccaneers to commit to somebody else and then say he's not retired. Then they can't afford to add him back to the roster. And then they have to. And it's been done before.
Cerebral.
To where then they have to let him go. And then he has one more chance to make his own choice. Yeah, I've heard the Niners thing too. I would say if I had to put a percentage on it, I'm going to go 25%.
Wow. That's higher than me.
Been there, done that, done it all before. Yeah, it's possible that you miss it. He said he didn't want to go through the whole regiment that he always goes through to get ready for a season. So a fresh start's going to motivate him again when he already did everything he said he was going to do when he went to Tampa. And you've got Giselle and all the money in the world. I'm trying to leave the door open enough because I know he's from California and that would be another ideal Cinderella story. He's had enough Cinderella stories.
Yeah, I had it at like 5, 10.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think I like yours more, though, because that's more interesting. Well, 713.
You listen to him doing his podcast with Jim Gray, the Let's Go podcast. The fact is, he wouldn't shut the door. He said, I'll talk to you guys in a year the first time. And then with Jim Gray, he was even more vague in terms of walking away. So that leads me to believe there's more than just a small chance that he'll want to go back.
Well, you know, I like the storylines and the drama.
You love
so
drama.
You're right. 713-780-ESPN. The big name free agent who does kind of appeal to me. I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth a little bit when we return. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. So I think we need to take a reality check on Texans free agency. Like, I understand that the offseason is fun, and a lot of times for a rebuilding team and a team that's not very good, the offseason's more entertaining than the regular season. And I think that that's currently the situation that we're in Houston. And I've always been a hot stove guy. I love the construction of building a roster. Mm-hmm. The draft is great. Free agency is great. So I love the offseason. I'm really fascinated with this offseason because it's very important for Nick Caserio. But I've been hearing some people looking at this free agency class with they need a dose of realism, if you will. Like, I'm hearing people talk about just looking down these best free agents and talking about how they're a fit for the Houston Texans. Like, Davante Adams, what do you think of him? Do you think he'd be good in a Houston Texans uniform? What about Terron Armstead from the Saints? Do you think he would look good in a Houston Texans uniform? Von Miller, what could he bring? What could Chandler Jones add to a Lovie Smith defense? J.C. Jackson, although that's the name that I mentioned. Mike Williams, L.A. Chargers, Marcus Williams, blah, 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 blah. Orlando Brown. Like, there needs to be a dose of realism whenever you look at the free agency class for the Houston Texans. You're either going to be looking for, one, I don't need you to be that active in free agency, because whenever you're building a roster and you're bad and you're winning four games, I like building a roster through the draft. Brendan, I think, has had a very good point about, you know, maybe signing some younger players who can still be here in 3 to 4 years whenever you start to win. Joel, you mentioned 2023, 2024, and beyond. If that's when you're starting to win and you sign a 25-year-old free agent this offseason, they're going to be very much a big part of that foundation. So that makes sense. It makes sense to me to sign, you know, a Rex Burkhead type where he's not going to be a starter, but maybe he's a one-year deal. I'm saying league minimum one-year deal. He's going to be the, you know, fourth string running back on your team to try to elevate that culture, because apparently that's a big deal now. Anytime you talk about Brandon Cooks, oh, you can't trade him. Culture's a big deal. Although when you talk about Jack Easterby, we mock culture, which is kind of funny. So I feel like there needs to be a dose of reality to a lot of people in the media, a lot of people in the fan base. When you're looking at free agency this offseason, there should be very few names that are actually contenders to land for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, they're not there yet. That's as simple as it becomes to me, and I'm the one that's preaching to you, too, that they turned the corner. Last year, they were looking for veterans on the downside of their career that still had a little left in the tank. They wanted to prove themselves, whether it be for the Texans or somewhere else, that they belong on a roster the following season, this upcoming offseason, and some of those guys were able to do that. But now you've turned the corner and you've decided you're not there yet to go out and just full-fledged spend good money on a lot of on some big name free agent players. But now you're looking for the opposite of a year ago. Now you're looking for some younger players that maybe haven't quite reached the potential that they had when they came out into the league, but that you feel like a change of scenery, maybe a change of defensive system is a better fit from the defensive side of the football, and you can find the right players that might be able to flourish better in a young system and then be a part of the rebuild as you move it forward. And therefore, I think that everybody needs to slow their roll, because some of the names that they're throwing out, other than what you've mentioned too, are players that, one, aren't going to look at the Houston Texans because they're looking to try and get to a place where not only they're going to play, but they're going to win, especially at whatever stage they are in their career. They're also going to come with price tags and looking for the amount of years that you shouldn't be willing to offer, because you need to be very smart and still do your due diligence on the and stick to your plan on how you proceed with every move that you're going to make. And I agree with you. You build the majority of your rebuild through the draft, and you still have resources that can get you extra draft picks, and that's where the majority of the work is going to be done on the rebuild. When you're getting to a certain point where you need to get over the top, whether it be in a position group or as a team, that's when you dabble into free agency and you're willing to make more of a commitment, more money, more years, and a bigger name, more impactful player.
I would agree with pretty much all of that. Like the free agents, though, about where they sign, I do think that there's a certain amount of players that do want to go to a place where they win, but also where they're going to get paid the most. You know? So there's a lot. Like if the Texans offer more than the Tennessee Titans, like there's a lot of players that are just going to take the biggest paycheck.
They are, but it depends on what they've gotten previously in their career. If you've got a guy that got paid early on that made more money than maybe some of the other guys, then money isn't as big of an issue. It's like in the NBA when guys at the end of their career, they've already made a boat ton of money. The one thing that they're looking to do then is win. They're willing to take a lot less to play with a team that could do a lot more on the wins and losses side and give them a chance to do something they haven't done maybe before or in a while, and that is compete for a Super Bowl and a title.
It's case by case. Yeah, I'll give you that. I mean, it depends on the player and the situation that they've been in. In the cap space right now, the Texans have between $17-18 million. Cap space kind of an idea, though, right? Like the Texans have four or five players that are backups on this team where you could save about $5 million for every single one of them. And then all of a sudden, you're looking at clearing up $15-20 million in more space. And now all of a sudden, you have under $40 million in cap space. So, I mean, the Texans can clear out space if they want. And that's even before a Laremy Tunsil trade. That's even before a Deshaun Watson trade, and that's even before a Brandon Cooks trade, although Josh McDaniel's brother, Ben McDaniel, I think it's Ben McDaniel, he's calling Brandon Cooks Cookie when he talks about him, so I don't think Brandon Cooks is going to be traded by the Houston Texans, which I think is a bad idea. But here is a name that it would excite me, that is appealing. This is me, like one of the, some guy I know that talks out of both sides of their mouth. The one name that would excite me is Chris Godwin of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the idea here is,
I'm with you on that.
Here's my idea. Like, he's going to be 26 years old in the next few days. So he's still very young, right? He's still, we're in 2023, if that's when you're going to start to win, he's going to be 28 years old. 2024 is going to be 29 years old. The idea, too, here is, look, Chris Godwin's a very good football player, and I don't think that, you know, he's under, like, he's not some uncovered gem, right? Like, people know what he could be, even if he was behind Mike Evans, even if he was at times overshadowed by Antonio Brown. He still caught 98 passes this year. He caught 86 passes back in 2019. But he's the type of player that fits a couple of billings here. He checks a couple of boxes. One of them, he helps Davis Mills, right? Because he's a very good receiver. And then the other part of that is, as well, is that he's part of the rebuild. He's part of the foundation for this team going forward. So, like, I'm saying don't spend a ton of money on free agents. If you want to be overall pretty inactive in free agency, this is a type of player that would get me excited if Nick Caserio brought him into the fold.
Yeah, I like the fact from the standpoint, too, you're probably going to get him cheaper than otherwise because he's coming off an injury. But I like the fact, like you said, he's at the right age. Again, you're going younger with the chance that they could still be better, and you're going to a guy that constantly, because of the fact that you had Mike Evans and you even had Antonio Brown, he's constantly been the guy that's been asked to take a step back. Now he could actually take a step forward, not only in the rehab and recovery process, but if he's healthy, he could end up being your number one. He could end up making more money. He could end up being a guy that not only helps Davis Mills, but helps himself more so than if he went to another winning situation where they already had a wide receiver one, or they had a full wide receiver room of talent. that maybe he would still be, you know, left to do what he was doing in Tampa Bay, playing a secondary role or a slot receiver role, and maybe putting himself out there to get more chance to get injured than to have the success that he wants. I like it for a lot of reasons. It just depends on the price tag, but I also think you get him cheaper because he's coming off an injury, and that he could be a guy that could be a part of your rebuild for multiple years to come. So I'm all for something like that.
The price tag is always the conversation that has to be involved with this. It's the same thing what I always say about trade. Would you trade this player? Well, God, it depends on the return. Like, tell me the whole story. Don't tell me half of the story. Chris Godwin, if you look at some of the projections on how much money he's going to make, it's about $17, $18 million, which is significant. And when you look at the contracts as well, like if you're going to sign a Chris Godwin or a Chris Godwin type, where it's a younger free agent that you think can be here for the next four or five seasons, that's going to help this team into the future and still be part of that rebuild, I don't want the Texans to kick the can down the road in terms of contract. Like, it's a deal breaker for me if you're signing the dude and you're front-loading the contract, where it's like $17 million on average, but you're paying him $12 million in year number one, $17 million in year number two, and then $22 million in year number three. Like, if you're going to make a splash in free agency like that, a younger player, good, going to be here for the future, helping the rebuild, I don't want them to kick the can down the road in terms of the contracts. You have to be willing to at least be even across the board, because now when you start to do that, you start to put yourself in a situation where it's really going to hurt you when you are ready to win.
Yeah, I think, and I don't know if I misunderstood you when you said you don't want to front load it, but front load it might be the wise situation in terms of, at least, like, you've been the one that talks about money isn't the biggest issue this year, because they're just basically not going to be cap strapped and they're still just trying to, you know, kind of get through a season. But you also want to make sure that it's not an overinflated number on the back end when you are actually getting good, that you can use it to your advantage. But I think that, yeah, I mean, look, that's another thing that the agents and the other players in the league are going to watch too. And depending on how you treat them and the way you're going to structure the contracts financially, and if it's in their best interest or it's in both the player and the team's best interest, you're going to have more chance of getting more free agents. But if you're looking to try and backload it, but it's not guaranteed, and then when you cut them, you get it all off the books, they don't get their money, and they're looking at an older age trying to find another team that's interested, I think that's a dangerous scenario as well.
Yeah, I don't want to kick the can down the road with the money. I don't want to front load it. I want it to be even across the board and be willing to spend now. Don't put it out for the future, because the future is whenever you're expected to win. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. All right, let's get into the totally reasonable cleanse of Aaron Rodgers. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You know, let me just put this disclaimer out right away for the few people watching that are tuning in just for a specific maybe news or decision. There will be no news today, no decision on my future. As I was texting with you yesterday, I just got out of a 12-day Pancha Karma. Look that up.
So we did look it up, PK. First off, that was Aaron Rodgers on with Pat McAfee yesterday. No decision on what Aaron Rodgers is going to do in his future.
I don't know which one of you two looked it up, but I didn't need, on the way home when I'm stuck in the car, having to get way too many details about what the hell a Pancha Karma cleanse is, with the details you guys were offering up in our group text.
I mean, all Brendan did was send you the information and send you the news. I mean, it's not any worse than the low main stuff you were talking about earlier.
Oh, it kind of is.
I don't know.
I mean,
I think yours is way worse. You forced me to listen to it.
Exactly.
You read the article, whether I talked about it or not. But you're talking about either you're puking or duking and doing things with your orifices that he was doing for 12 days that, like, I
did
not
read
driving home.
You could have done the same with the one I sent you.
No, you sent me a text while I'm driving, which comes up on my screen as well as in my phone, and says, you know, you have a text message from Brendan, and it says, oh, by the way, the Pancha Karma is, you know, vomiting and enemas, and I'm like, all right, I didn't need all that.
I mean, you had to click it to read all of this, though. Anyways, Aaron Rodgers, he was calling it the PK later on in the interview with Pat McAfee and his really good friend AJ Hawk. But you kind of heard what it is. Joel was telling you what it is. At what point? What was it going to take for you to do this as a show bit, Joel?
I told you after you actually own up to the sex swing and then get into all the details and the videos and pictures, then I will consider doing it. Other than that, there's no chance. Let's be honest. There's absolutely no freaking chance. Look, he's already out there. But this is just who he is and the kind of things he does on a regular basis that most rational-minded people would not do. And I'm like, first of all, he can do whatever he wants. I didn't need the details from you guys. I didn't need the details from him. The only details anybody was concerned about yesterday was had he made a decision. Once he did, he decided that, and we talked about, like, you would have saved it for the middle of the program, would you keep people interested? No, he basically went cut to the chase right away and did some people a favor.
Hold on now. You said this is just who he is. I don't agree with that. He's crazy, but this stuff, it sounds like it's right out of his ex-fiancés or current fiancés or whatever she is. It sounds like it's right out of her playbook.
Okay, first of all, he was doing these kind of over-the-toppy, all-naturally kind of things and thoughts well before her and kind of with Olivia Munn and then in the transitional period to where he got to Shayla or whatever her name is. But I think that the one thing that goes back to what I said, whether he was hammered, drunk, or just drinking the other night when he got caught in his feelings, or you believe that it was all because he came out of this cleanse and just wanted to be appreciative of all the love in his world. The fact of the matter is that it sounded like they weren't completely done then, and you didn't need a cleanse to figure that out. And the fact that it sounded like he got dumped if they were done, or she's the one that called the engagement off, and he still loved her and was professing his ways of loving her. So you can do all that, you can say all that, and I hope to God he gets whatever he wants to be happy with all that. But, like, it just, to me, I didn't need all of that, and I don't care if they're together or not. I just care if he plays Packer football next year.
I think the fast can certainly change your feelings and emotions and give you, like, this euphoric high.
Change your feelings if he's taking enemas, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I think I think it actually all makes sense. Like, it's very weird. Aaron Rodgers is very much a hipster and crunchy and all of that. But I'm actually believing the story. I'm believing that he did the PK cleanse, 12-day PK cleanse, because he's really weird.
You're calling it a PK, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's what he called it, and I don't want to say the full name. He also, you know, he talked about the Devontae Adams and the Randall Cobb Instagram picture. Mm-hmm. He said that they sent that to him during the week that he was out, and he said even then that it made him emotional because, like, this was their pregame routine. Like, it just moved him to tears, he said, to Pat McAfee. So you have this weird 12-day PK cleanse. You got all this stuff going on in his life. I believe it was true. There's also rumors out there that he and his fiance or his ex-fiance are actually back together. There's some people that think that the missus was in the room when Aaron Rodgers was talking to Pat McAfee, and there's a moment whenever he says her name and kind of looks off camera. And there's also some internet detectives that pointed out that there was, I guess, an Instagram post of the fiance, Woodley, where she had a coffee mug. And then the very next day, Aaron Rodgers, who was on Pat McAfee, was drinking out of the same coffee mug.
Who cares? I hate to break it to folks that don't have any experience with relationships that get close to marriage, but the fact of the matter is, whether the engagement's on or off, it's just like a breakup with someone you've been dating for a long period of time. Just because you decided to see other people or you decided at the time that you were breaking up doesn't mean you're never going to speak to that person again or have feelings, some feelings stronger than others, that need to be taken care of. And with those things happening, or just because the engagement's off, did they say they're not speaking together ever again and the relationship's off? No, they're just taking a step back. Who the hell cares? Who cares anyway?
What
the
heck cares?
Right, but why do we? Why does anybody else? Why do we care if the actress and the quarterback are making it or taking a break? I don't care. I just want to know what the hell you're going to do for football.
Well, I think some people, like, you know, that read TMZ, that read the gossip magazines, they like to know this kind of stuff. They like to know when social media people and when star athlete people, whenever they're engaged or not, whenever they have to go through breakups. Magazines make tons of money off of this kind of stuff.
I just want to know when you're going to start pulling the Pat McAfee, when you start getting in here back on Twitch and you just start going with the sleeveless. I mean, the fact that McAfee kind of stands around and twirls items like you twirl that piece of chair I threw out yesterday.
Don't forget the bat tomorrow.
I know, I got to actually remember that. But I think that, you know, just like Pat McAfee, I think you should come in with the spandex sleeveless, the dry fit sleeveless, and just, you know, show the guns off.
I do have some guns working, looking pretty good. The Branham beautification's going really well.
Talking about the chest, or the biceps?
The 14 days that it did back in the day.
You got the hammers?
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. From Aaron Rodgers to the CBA and Major League Baseball, meeting again today. They're chatting. I do like that they've met every day this week. It does seem like they're working towards something, whereas for a long time that it you know, they basically weren't talking. Whenever they were talking, it was for 15 minutes. So I think it's a good thing that they're chatting every single day.
It's a good thing, Jeremy, but how good, I don't know. Because like you said, it's something that I said from the very get-go when everybody was concerned and they made the announcement and they executed the lockout when they did. There was nothing actually motivating them to do anything for an extended period of time. And then when they did get together, it was 15 minutes here. It was just a ridiculous joke to where everybody that just from the outside looking in said, oh, it's two rich sides that are just basically aren't worried and concerned about what everybody else is concerned about with his getting down to brass tacks to make sure we have baseball this season. And now suddenly, because, as I said, now you're getting into things that are going to affect pocketbooks, like the money that they just absolutely steal hand over fist for the television rights in spring training, and then as it relates to regular season games, to, you know, just the cities they play in and all the revenue and all the merchandise that goes to those cities that aren't your home city of where you play that you can capitalize on. And so now they're starting to actually agree to meet every day this week. Hopefully each of those meetings goes longer than 15 minutes in the first meeting they had. But you just don't know what's going to actually be the motivating factor that finally gets them to say, hey, we're going to lock ourselves in this room until we walk out of here with a deal. And the other thing that's really amazing to me is Major League Baseball didn't have to do this. They didn't have to execute the lockout. They could have just agreed to continue over. Obviously, when you get to the start of the regular season, then it gets dicey. But so that you could still have spring training on time and you're working towards resolution. And as long as you're working towards the resolution and making progress, there's no need to lock the players out. There's no need to stop doing the daily business of baseball. And yet they chose to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were trying to get to some sort of labor peace by doing it. The players not very happy about it. But, I think if you have a lockout, I think you do create the urgency to negotiate. Whereas if you don't have the lockout, there's not the urgency to negotiate. So, like, I it's hard to put blame on either side. I've put a little bit of blame on everybody's side. I think Major League Baseball, the Players Association, felt like they got a raw deal on the last CBA, and they're trying to overcompensate with this CBA. So they have a little bit of making up to do. I think it's what's leading to a long negotiation period. And I think Major League Baseball certainly is playing hardball, pardon the pun. They're playing hardball with the lockout. They're playing hardball by taking basically 6 weeks off without coming to the negotiation table. I feel like both sides is in any sort of, like, negotiation, like Busby and Harden. Like, I always feel like there's, you know, both sides have something to lose and both sides have something to gain.
I've been through a couple of these from an NBA perspective, and it gets so frustrating for the people that care the most, the people that, you know, are in the front offices, that are part of the organizations, that are basically entrusted on a daily basis with promoting and positively, you know, doing things to actively promote and sell the game of baseball and the players, and market the players and do the things for the love of the game. I mean, you think even from the ticket takers and the security people that work in every building from spring training to regular season games. I ask you this, when do you conceivably think it's going to be over? Do you think we're going to start on time with the regular season?
I'm still holding out hope. I'm still holding out hope that something gets done by the end of this week. And I know some people saying that, like, they feel they've went backwards in some areas. Let's keep in mind that stuff gets leaked out, right? Trying to then have that media news that was leaked out come into the negotiation tables too. So I feel like they are a lot closer than they were when the week started. But I mean, we'll see. Like, I wonder how much they're willing to lose games. Because if neither side wants to lose games, and look, Major League Baseball doesn't want to lose games because that means they lose money, and they already lost some money during COVID. The players don't want to lose games because, I mean, just do the math. If you're getting paid for 162 games versus 140 games, you're going to make more money for the 162 games. So ultimately, I think they get something done. It just depends on the urgency. Like, is the urgency at the end of February, that way you have one full month of spring training? Or is the urgency, okay, we can push back the regular season and make up for it in the back end. We can schedule these double headers, trying to squeeze everything in. So I guess it depends on the urgency from that sense. I think they still play 162, but I don't necessarily think that 162 means starting on April 1st.
See, the other thing you got to worry about is the risk of injury, because you're talking about guys that you hope are working out on their own. You hope that are doing the things that they would normally be doing to get ready for a regularly scheduled regular season and spring training. But not everybody's going to be doing that. A lot of guys are going to be like, I don't have to get ready. This is going to be taking a while. I'm going to sit on my couch. I'm going to watch more, you know, other sports. I'm just going to, you know, coast for a while. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, when you start actually picking it up and getting ready to play again, you get a little bit behind. You get pitchers that haven't been doing all their work. And then suddenly you run the risk of having more injuries. And I say that to say the fact that, you know, I've seen the videos. We know Bregman's been working out. We know Correa's been hitting, whether he's an Astro or otherwise. But the pitchers are supposed to be pitching and getting their other work in. And then you see, I caught this, and maybe we'll have the audio tomorrow. Lance McCullers did an interview with this kid, this Houston kid that's been doing interviews with Altuve and some of his favorite players. And they've been all doing interviews with him. And he says he's behind schedule in terms of his rehab. He might not be ready for the start of the regular season. Well, then as an Astros fan, you're like, don't hurry too much to get this thing done, because we got to make sure Lance is a part of this. The luxury is you got six starting pitchers, but you better hope all six are doing their work. And if one of them is behind schedule, the other ones better be ahead of schedule or on schedule.
Yeah, Lance was talking about how frustrated he was with the lockout because it meant he couldn't work with a lot of the rehab guys he would normally work with. And he said if the season were to start on time, that he probably would not be available for opening day. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We return. There's a few quarterbacks that are being mentioned, a few free agent quarterbacks that are being linked to Houston. Do any of them make sense? Next, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. Doc O knows what he's doing. You know why? Because he worked at the other places, and he found out how they were stealing money from people, essentially, by getting them to buy into products and services that just weren't going to do anything for them and get them results. He made sure when he started his own clinics that he was going to do it the right way, and he was only going to get people the products and services that got them where they wanted to go. So if you go to Apollo Men's Health, and it starts by booking that first appointment by going to ApolloMH.com, not only are you going to find out that most major insurance is accepted and there's discounts for military personnel and first responders, and if you mention my name, Joel Blank, you get a free B12 shot, you get people that actually care about you and what you're trying to do. Your health is your wealth. You got to invest in yourself. So when you talk to Apollo Men's Health and you set up that first appointment, they're going to ask you some really tough questions. But the first question they're going to ask you is, what is your goals? What are you trying to achieve? What are the results you'd like to get to? And whether it be a weight loss goal or more energy and more kind of motivation to actually have you get through your day without being tired and drained, to the fact that you want to recover quicker. And when you've been in the gym, you get sore, and then you're sore for multiple days, and it makes you not want to go back. They can help you with all those things and more. You just got to be honest with them, because when you're honest with them, they're going to set you on a set you up on a program that's going to get your results. They're good people doing great things on a daily basis. They have two locations to better serve you. And for men and women, they have hormone therapy, and that is going to put you in the right direction to getting that energy back in your life. Check them out today. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, so three free agent quarterbacks that have been linked to Houston. Now, this one, a couple of names I want to throw by you. One at the very end that's more interesting to me than all of the others. First one, Jameis Winston. What do you think about that name being linked to the Texans?
I mean, if we didn't know enough about, if we hadn't seen enough of Davis Mills, and we saw Davis Mills, that was the first go-round last year before he sat for a bit and came back, I might be more open to that. I told you all along, the one thing that I want is a quarterback that's not coming here because they want to take over the starting quarterback job immediately, and they want to actually stunt the growth or the development or to see the progress of Davis Mills. I think there are enough veteran quarterbacks out there that can do that and still provide you with a quality backup that can still let both things happen. You can see everything you need to see of Davis Mills and give him every opportunity to either succeed or fail, and you don't have someone. It's one thing to say push them in camp, but I think even like we were talking about earlier in the show with Lovie, they're going to say all the right things to say it's a competition, but at the end of the day, they all know that it's in their best interest for at least this next season to see and evaluate Davis Mills. So I think if you made Jameis Winston your quarterback or you brought him onto the roster, I think Jameis is looking to make up for money he lost when he took so very little to play for the Saints for a year and then didn't see it through last year with injury. He's looking to be a starter. He knows the clock is ticking. He wants an opportunity to run the quarterback and be the franchise quarterback. I don't think it's the right situation for Jameis Winston here in Houston.
Yeah, he'd want to be a starter. It makes zero sense to me. He's also getting closer and closer to the age of 30. I also think he'll be in somewhat high regard. Like, I think he can get a starting job in the NFL. Ryan Fitzpatrick has been a name linked to the Houston Texans.
Nope. Fitzmagic's been there, done that with the Texans. Don't need to see him do it again. The lumberjack quarterback is better suited to be somewhere else on a team that's got better chances to have higher aspirations. And whether he's the backup, and you know he's that quality veteran backup that more and more good teams are looking for nowadays, or someone's willing to give him a chance to like find the magic one more time. Don't need to see him here. Don't need to see what the price tag is because he's still been consistently getting $10 million or more. I don't need to see any of Ryan Fitzpatrick back in Houston, Texas.
I'd be all right with Ryan Fitzpatrick if it was the clear indicator that he was the backup and he's basically like this, you know, default quarterback coach where he's trying to help Davis Mills. But you're right, the salary, the amount of money he's been making would need to decrease, like maybe under $5 million.
Yep.
Like it'd almost have to be cut more in half and maybe even further than that. But if he came in with the right mindset, I'm the veteran backup, I'm here to help Davis Mills, I'd be okay with it. But the fact that he has been here before probably leads me to think that it's probably unlikely. Now, the last name that was linked to the Houston Texans that does intrigue me is Mitch Trubisky. Mm-hmm. Like, this to me, he's younger. He's still 27. He has shown flashes in his career, as much as people don't want to admit that. He was a Pro Bowler back in his second season, threw for 3,200 yards, had 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Now, his rookie year, not great, and then the years after 2018, 19, and 20 were not very good either, and he ended up going to Buffalo, backing up Josh Allen and trying to basically reinvent himself, and now enters free agency and has been a name linked with the Houston Texans. I would be more okay with Trubisky than the Winston and the Fitzpatrick because, like, this is a guy that actually could have some skill. I wouldn't want him starting over Davis Mills day one.
Yep.
I wouldn't want him starting over Davis Mills day one, but if you go 5-6 games into the season and Davis Mills looks like, if he looks awful, he looks really, really bad, then you can turn it over to Mitch Trubisky and see what you got.
So as long as that's kind of the precursor to signing him, the price tag's going to matter, but also the understanding has to be discussed that, hey, look, early in the season, this is Davis Mills' job. Not his job to lose. To start the season, it's his job. Now, a couple weeks in, if he looks bad, then it can be his job to lose, and then we can start working you into the mix. But if he understands that and he comes at the right price tag, I said all along, I like competition. I especially like competition at the quarterback position. And Davis Mills isn't coming to us from a position of strength to say he is going to be the franchise quarterback. He is getting an opportunity to start for this franchise. That doesn't mean that anything has been spelled out or we've seen enough of him to know this guy has what it takes. Trubisky's a guy that I'm intrigued by because the fire should still be burning, and it should be burning brightly. And he got a chance to experience what winning was like sitting and watching Josh Allen. He got a chance to experience what it's like to be around a winning franchise doing what the Bills did. He got a chance to realize, hey, maybe I was doing things wrong when I was in Chicago, and maybe I was also being misled by a coach and a general manager that didn't have the right ideas for me in the right frame of mind. Whatever it is, if he comes in here with the right mentality of, hey, I want to work side by side with Davis Mills, I want to help Davis Mills while I'm helping myself, and then if his number's called and he starts playing well, what's the difference, Jeremy, if you find out going in a year from now that you have a quarterback that you can rely on. And what's the difference if it's Mitch Trubisky or if it's Davis Mills? Whichever guy plays better and shows you that they can put it together is a guy that at least you know you can have on your roster that can start and win football games, then that's fine.
Yeah, it's my volume thing, right? I mean, I was talking about this the other day with third-round draft picks. Like, the more you have, the better chance you have to hit on third-round draft picks. So while Davis Mills, I'd want him to be my starter day one, even if you brought in a Mitch Trubisky, and you're still seeing Davis Mills through. Like, you're not quitting on Davis Mills with this proposal. You're still seeing that through. But there is a decent chance that Davis Mills is not going to be a very good quarterback, and if you find that out in week five, week six of the season, and then you turn it over to Mitch Trubisky, at least it's a backup quarterback that has shown that he can play at a Pro Bowl level. He might still have upside, and you might luck yourself into finding a pretty solid quarterback going forward. I think it makes a lot of sense from a Houston Texans point of view.
But you said it best right there at the end of that, Jeremy. You just want to find yourself a solid quarterback. It doesn't matter if it's the guy you drafted or the guy that you set. You can get credit for being a savvy general manager and bringing a guy in that teams were done with, that weren't willing to, other teams weren't willing to give a legit shot to, and suddenly you found it. It doesn't matter which guy finds it and is the guy, as long as you find it. And if you find it from one of those two guys, so be it. If competition brings out the best in one or the other, who cares which one it is? And at the same time, while you're experimenting and doing all those things, hopefully you still put yourself in a position with draft picks. If you want a quarterback that way too, you can still go out and get one.
I think it makes some sense for Mitch Trubisky as well. I think there's some opportunities out there where Mitch Trubisky could be a starter from day one around the NFL. But with this same logic about him coming to the Houston Texans and just kicking around that idea, you know what I think would be a really good landing spot from a Mitch Trubisky point of view? The New York Giants. Brian Daboll, his offensive coordinator, just went to New York. Daniel Jones probably has a shorter leash than Davis Mills does. That to me sounds like a perfect fit for Mitch Trubisky.
Well, I ask you this, and we're about ready to get out of here, but quickly, if you had to choose between Davis Mills or Daniel Jones, which one are you taking?
Daniel Jones.
See, me
what
too.
What about you?
Me too. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Let's kick that around a little bit.
Take
more
it over tomorrow.
I feel like there's a lot of meat. So let's
travel
on
back
that bone.
Safe. Don't eat too much and get the Cougs a win.
Well, I can't promise the middle thing. All right, does it for us. Thanks to Brendan and Cam for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.